We're still catching up on July Tynwald highlights. We've got questions from Jason Morehouse, an answer from John Wannenberg on the delays in getting a planning application submitted for the Airystain wind farm. Later in the programme, we'll hear from Rob Collister and Michelle Haywood on how Tynwald members should pay for their parking, agreeing that they should, but disagreeing on how the recent request for payment, which missed out senior civil servants, was handled. First, though, Arbury Castletown and Malou MHK, Jason Morehouse.
You had three questions in Tynwald. We'll start with the one which is very close to home for me, and that's the proposed wind farm. And you were looking to find out when the planning application was going to be put in for that.
That's it, because in the original documentation, actually, look at January 2025, which is long gone, they contacted some residents in early June, 3rd of June, stating it would be the 25th of June, which we've gone past. So I was trying to find out today when the date will be, and we've shifted towards October. The issue is that I was talking to someone yesterday, and there's an additional environmental impact assessment taking place, which will take 6 months. So we're actually looking towards the end of the year if what the chair said today is what they're going to do.
And what did he say?
He was actually saying that until all the environmental impact assessments are complete, the planning application will not go ahead.
Okay, so that presumably the 6 months for this additional work, when would that have started?
It sounded like it was as we speak, so that's going to take us right to the end of the year.
Okay, what does that mean in terms of the whole development, do you think?
I think it turns it on its head in some respects, and that's what I said to the chair, you know, is it's how it actually pause the process, either before it goes to planning or once the environmental impact assessments have been complete, because this is going to mean that in 12 months' time, when we get a new government, they're going to have something they're expected to follow through and support, when it could be a completely different makeup of the House of Keys, and they may not be inclined at all to go forward with such an expensive scheme.
Equally, they may all decide that, yes, this is the right thing to do. I suppose that's always the case when things come close to an election. And quite frankly, I don't think the people of the Isle of Man would want us to be in a position where, for the year before an election, nothing was done.
No, but I think if you actually look at the timeline, the planning application is going to take 12 months. If we're actually looking at it starting later this year, early 2026, is going to be crossing over that arrival of the new government. So the MUA need to be thinking in terms of what does this mean in terms of the planning application and the expectations of the next government.
So then you had two other questions. You had a question in relation to non-native invasive species. What was that all about?
It was really looking at the legislation, how it's been updated and reflective of the current situation. It's something that should have been updated several years ago, and it's not gone forward. So I was trying to get an update in terms of where are we?
And where are we?
We're still not quite where we should be. So given what's happening in the next 12 months, it's unlikely to actually see light of day before the next election, which in some ways is disappointing. So hopefully that will be pushed. And I actually looked at other legislation in terms of could that be amended to cover certain areas. And the minister said that in terms of bringing forward the new legislation that was taking place, it was being looked at and considered, so we'll have to see what actually comes through in the coming weeks.
And your final question?
Yeah, that was actually looking at social security payments when a family split, and it's one that several people have raised in the recent weeks, and the majority of the payments go to one designated parent, so it means that the other parent often has challenges. But it was quite interesting in today's answer, there is an additional benefit for the parent who's not getting the benefits. And at lunchtime I contacted two parents and neither of them were aware of this benefit. So it was a good question to ask. I've been on to Social Security and I've raised this before, but today was the first time I've actually heard about this additional benefit to help out the second parent who's not getting Social Security benefits.
That was Jason Moorhouse. Next, Chair of the MUA, John Wallenberg.
You answered a question in Tynwald in relation to the Airy Steyne wind farm, or the Cairvy wind farm. Effectively, is it a further delay? I suppose it is a further delay in when the planning application is going to be submitted.
Well, I suppose effectively that is exactly what it is. However, it is not without explanation. We have been asked to do further work by DEFA. And so to make the planning application as wholesome as it can be, or as fulsome as it can be, so when it gets submitted, it will be further robustly able to withstand scrutiny by anybody. So when I say withstand, it's not to say this is the way and you can't question it. This is the way it all is. Here's all the information. Please scrutinize each part and every chapter of it so we can make the best possible case that we can. Now, in the fullness of time, if that case does not support a wind farm for whatever reason, and I've said it in Tynwald before, then we will not progress. But if it does, then we will. And that's why it needs to be as strong as it possibly can be. And if that takes more time than what we originally envisaged, then I don't really apologize for that. But I do take on board the feelings of all the people who live around the area. And I completely understand the anxiety that this is causing them. All I can say is, it will be the best possible planning application it can be. And at the end of that, you'll have something which you can scrutinize. And hopefully we'll all be better off because of that.
And this, the whole issue surrounding a wind farm, it's not necessarily a binary argument. It's there seems to be a view, I think, from some people who are very pro the wind farm, that if you're against this particular site, then you're against wind farms. And also, I think there's a view from people on the other side that say, we should just be against every wind farm, regardless of the site. It's much more nuanced than those two, perhaps, extreme positions.
Of course, there's not two tribes involved here. There are people who want it, who don't want it there, and there are people who don't want it anywhere. And it falls to us as the current people who have got to make these long-term decisions, where is best to place core national infrastructure. And people, qualities, qualifications way beyond what I've got, have determined that this is the best possible site. And they will support that, I would imagine, in the EIA. But I absolutely understand how controversial it is. And, if we are going to progress society, we have to take the bull by the horn sometimes. People who put down the Selby Reservoir years and years ago, before it was there, they envisage things for the future. And this is definitely one for the future as well. And if it's going to bring to the Isle of Man, it's going to stabilize electricity prices, and it's going to reduce our carbon footprint. And these are all good things wherever it's going to be. And again, I'm going to go back to the EIA. Let's see what it says, and let's go from there.
I suppose, you referenced there the reservoir. I mean, certainly one of the arguments that the residents living very close by to the proposed wind farm site say is there are sites around the island which are much further away from people's homes. And obviously in the Selby Reservoir situation, that was very definitely the case. It was a massive piece of engineering work, but there were very few, if any, people living nearby that would have been directly affected.
Yeah, it's hard to counter. Look, a wind farm, if we're going to have one, it's got to go somewhere. And we are a small island. It is going to affect someone somewhere. Now, again, back to Airy Steyne, I'm not saying it's the best place. The experts are saying that. And I can well understand that people in the area would put forward a counter-argument. And they must please bring those arguments forward when the Planning Commission goes in at some point. And let's hear from them. And if they are strong arguments and they carry water, then they will be taken on board. And hopefully we will eventually get to the right outcome. I'm not saying that I know what the outcome is going to be at all. I hate to use the phrase "we'll follow the science," but it is beyond our opinion at the MUA to determine where it's going to go. All we can do is follow due process and make sure it's done as quickly as possible, but it should not be rushed. It's too important to be rushed. It should be done as quickly as possible and as effectively as possible. And that'll be to the benefit of everyone, and particularly the people in Eriestain.
That was Douglas North MHK John Wannenberg. Next, Onchan MHK Rob Collister.
This is in relation to the debate as to whether members and senior civil servants should pay for their parking. I mean, this is a bit of deja vu, isn't it? Because Tynwald has already agreed this. It's effectively Tynwald policy. What's going on? Why was the need for a motion?
Well, it was agreed by Tynwald in 2015, going into 2016, that members should pay for their parking. And I think there isn't a single member in that chamber that does not agree that we should pay for our parking. But if you actually look at what Tynwald agreed back in 2015, it clearly said that Tynwald members and senior civil servants in Douglas Central should pay for their parking spaces. And I think from the outset, we should put that point that we are not against paying for parking. We should pay for our parking. The problem was, it was the correspondence that we received from the Department of Infrastructure was aggressive. It basically said they were going to reinstate the parking for members. If they didn't comply, they would be issued with penalty notices. But what upset me more than anything else was the fact that that same correspondence said that the senior officers wouldn't pay for their parking. They would be exempted. And so that raised conversations and emails between members and the Department of Infrastructure Minister. My colleague from Peel and Glen Faber, Kate Lord Brennan, felt that this should go down as a motion and have an open debate in the public domain. We should never have had to do this, but this again is another example of a department not following what Tynwald previously agreed. And only by putting this into the public domain have we now raised that sort of question around actually implementing what the policy said. Tynwald members should pay for parking, and so should civil servants in Douglas.
I suppose the difficult part to all this is, how did it end up that you stopped paying for parking? Because surely to goodness, if the policy was made and implemented, which it was back in 2015-16, how are we ending up in a position where it's being reintroduced again?
Well, I don't think that has ever really been fully explained to members or to the public. And I think it genuinely goes down to the fact that COVID hit and all of us were sent home and we were working from home. So you can't charge people for parking if they're not using the facilities. That should have been, as soon as COVID, the ban on COVID was lifted, implementation of parking charges should have been implemented. But as I've said in the debate, we were originally paying £770 per parking space, which I think was fair, because a lot of members in the chamber, and I was fighting for a lot of other members. I'm one of the few members that actually use the car park all day, every day. So £750 a year was actually fair. I think some of my colleagues only use the parking spaces for sitting, and that is why I felt that we need to seriously sit down and have a proper conversation of how much we consider the price to be fair, and is there any room for exemptions for members who may only use the car park maybe 2 or 3 days a week when sittings are on.
But you do have to acknowledge that in the real world, if people want to reserve a private car parking space, they pay the cost of the private car parking space. You know, you can't just pay for the days you want to use it, because otherwise it wouldn't be available necessarily, because no one can know in advance that you want to use it on that particular day.
Absolutely, and I'm not disagreeing with that point. When I was in the private sector and I did have my own parking space and I did pay for it, I paid commercial rates, but I knew I was using that parking space between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday to Friday every week, except for I was on holiday. You know yourself, Phil, as a Tynwald member, you have your business that's in central Douglas. then you are in departments. So I may end up being working in St. John's, or you may end up working somewhere else. So you're not always inside the business, inside the Timwell building. So you may end up being in your constituency, or you may be working from home. So this is why it just needs some clarification. And to me, this isn't about the parking charges or how much a Timwell member uses the space. It's about implementing what Timwell agreed. And Timwell agreed in April, the 1st of April 2016, that actual senior civil servants in Douglas and Timwell members in Douglas should you pay for their parking. That is all we were asking for. What upset me again in the chamber today was the fact that the Minister for the Department of Infrastructure stood up and basically says, well, we're going to implement the charges for members in October, and we may think about charging civil servants in January next year. That's not what the Timwell motion says. Now, I do have to be really careful here. I am also the chair of the Public Service Commission, and I absolutely agree that there may be conversations needed with unions and with the Public Service Commission and with OHR and with workers to be able to implement this again. But we have to follow through what Timwell says, and we have to understand why the payments were stopped, and then making sure, if we are to reintroduce them, make sure the price is fair for everybody, but also making sure that everybody, it's a fair playing field, because there's a lot of senior civil servants out there. They earn considerably more than Timwell members, but there are also workers that earn a significantly less than MHKs and Timwell members. But this does say it's for senior officers within government, within Douglas, that should pay for their parking. That's all we're asking for here. I think the amendment brought by the minister today has just confused things. And what we actually need is a proper policy. It needs to go through maybe the Timwell Management Committee, needs to go through the Public Service Commission, needs to go through the unions. Let's implement it. Let's have the fair policy and let's start paying for our parking.
Rob Collister, MHK, there, calling for Timwell members and senior civil servants in central Douglas to pay for their parking. Infrastructure Minister Michelle Haywood seems keen to reintroduce the parking charges.
You had an amendment to the motion in relation to parking, or getting senior civil servants and MHKs to park. Now, the suggestion from the seconder of the motion is that your amendment basically lets the senior civil servants off the hook. Is that the case?
No, not at all. So the first part of the motion, which specifically talks about the government offices underground car park, I thought was irrelevant, because we're not just talking about that car park, we're talking about all car parks, and I didn't want to restrict our ability to do that. The second part of the original motion was absolutely right. It's about the government car parking policy, and we haven't gone back and reinstituted that since it was suspended during COVID days, when people weren't coming into the office and it was felt unfair to make them pay for something that they couldn't legally use. And it has never been switched back on again. And there are several elements to that. So the DOI has jurisdiction over the car park that Timwell members are parking in, and has made the decision there to reinstitute that. The other departments are charged with going and looking at their car parking for staff and their allocation of car parking spaces, the workload of those staff, whether they need to travel on business, and working out what a fair allocation of car parking is. And that will take the departments some time to work through.
But presumably this was all done prior to the introduction of parking charges the last time round.
Absolutely. And it's one of those baffling things to me. When I arrived newly elected, they handed me a piece of paper, said, do you want a car parking permit? It'll cost you this amount. And by the way, it's going up in subsequent years. And I said, yes, that was fine, and signed for it. And then I've never been debited for it in the entire time I've been here. So when I came into the DOI, it was one of the things sat on the to-do list of delivering car parking, going back in. And I think it was a bit confusing today, because all the members spoke and said, yes, okay, we accept we'll have to pay for parking. I think there's some misunderstanding that there should have been some inflationary measure applied to it, but it was always intended that it came in at a low amount and then it was going to be on an accelerated pathway to get to a commercial level, because there's no reason it should be subvented either. So you know, that notwithstanding, it seemed to be the general acceptance from members they should be paying their parking, but there was a little bit of a, but what about the civil servants? And I hope today I've managed to explain to people that actually it's a bit more complicated because the policy says the departments will work that out for its own staff. They're the ones that know their staff, know what the demands are on them, and the need for cars to be parked in, you know, close to the office, and they're the ones that will need to work that out. There's nothing there that I could do that would impose anything that would be fair and justified.
There were some suggestions that some MHKs who perhaps aren't in departments that are in Douglas should have maybe reduced parking fees because they don't use the parking in central Douglas that often. Is that fair?
There's been a whole email trail around where I think quite a few MHKs have said, but I only come in on sitting days, some because they work from home, others, I don't think they've justified why they're not in and around the buildings. But as I said today, we do know that members have a complicated schedule of where they're working from. And, you know, sometimes I'm down in the constituency, sometimes I'm at the department, and sometimes I'm here. So it's for each member to work out what that is. There was no distinction applied to that in the original parking policy, and we've committed to undertake to go and find some way that we can do some sort of prorated, you know, slightly fairer thing for members who aren't here all the time. But on the original policy, that wasn't there anyway. It was just you pay for a space or you didn't. And I think it just reflects some of those changes that have come in the post-COVID world, where we have worked to a more sort of hybrid model of working.
I guess, though, if 33 parking spaces are to be made available for Tynwald members in what is an area of Douglas that normally, if you want a reserved parking space, you have to pay for it. The fact that the space may be empty at certain times doesn't mean that anyone else can go in it. You know, if it's a reserved parking space for a member, it's a reserved parking space for that member.
Yeah, and that's one of the challenges, isn't it? So I know when I've spoken to the office, I think there are something like 11 members who've just said, yes, I'll pay for a parking space. And so for those members, they will expect that there is a parking space there whenever they want it. And it may be we have to allocate numbered spaces within the car park and their space will always be available to them. For those that are looking for I want to pay as I go, we can't hold those spaces empty all the time, and therefore there might be a bit more of a potluck kind of situation, similar to when you turn up in, say, Chester Street, where you pay for your parking, you know, or you pay for a contract space. If you pay for a contract space, it's always there whatever time you want it on the Monday to Friday schedule. But actually, if it's the pay as you go, then you turn up and you locate your space and you pay it, you know, pop in there and pay for it. So we'll look at something like that. What I don't want to do is put loads of expensive infrastructure into what is a relatively small car park. It's primarily used by members of Tynwald, the judiciary and court staff, and by central government offices staff. I'm not going to invest long thousands of money trying to solve this problem. We need to find something that's relatively cheap, easy to administer, but gives that sense of fairness that members are obviously upset by the suggestion that they should just pay for a parking space. I would like to note that even at the levels we're suggesting paying for, I think it works out that if you, you know, it's we're talking a fiver a day kind of level of parking for most of us if we were in here all the time. And I accept that if members only ever come into this building because there's a sitting on when they're required to be here, it might be that they only do 3 days of Tynwald and another 3 days, you know, each week for the House of Keys sittings. And actually, they're only here 6 days a month, but 6 days a month parking down at Chester Street car park is about £40. It'd be significantly cheaper for them just to park down there.
I suppose they would have got their money's worth in this week's Tynwald.
Oh yeah, the 4 day marathon Tynwald that it's turned into. It's funny, isn't it? Because we often get a lot of challenges and we'll get lots of comments about, oh, you know, you're all off for the long summer recess. And obviously, as you'll know, for those of us who are ministers in departments, there isn't a long break to be taken. There is still lots of work to be done. I know my departmental members are mostly around for, you know, they're taking a week or 10 days off here or there. But actually, there's no big long summer. We'll all disappear off to the beach somewhere else. And actually, nobody seems to have commented on the fact that we started early this time because we looked at the order paper and decided there was so much there that we needed to work through, that we were, you know, going to bring that sitting forward. And I kind of commend all of the members of Tynwald, because I know it, for all of us, it created some disruption to things that we already had scheduled, expecting that we'd have the Monday free. But actually, you know, it's worked out. We're Thursday now. We finally managed to get through the order paper. And I think that's a testament to the hard work that's been put in this week.
And the final question then, in terms of the charging for parking, does the department have a vague estimate as to how much this is going to bring in?
In terms of just the central government offices car park, we're talking tens of thousands, but not long tens of thousands. It depends on how many members opt to have a space and what we do about the turn up and park option, if we can make that available. So it's not a huge amount of money. I think it's more about the principle. We're elected representatives. We don't come with a package of benefits and terms and conditions that say we'll get all these various things. We do get some things provided for us. Some members, for example, have mobile phones and things like that. I opted not to have a government mobile phone, and I pay for my own phone bill, my own calls, my own data connection, and my own handset. And so there's kind of differences. And yeah, we do get provided some benefits to enable us to do the job. Car parking spaces is probably not one of those that's essential for us to do the job, so I think it's only right that members are paying for their space.
That was Russian MHK Michelle Hayward. So what do you think? Is the Minister right to press on with reintroducing parking charges which were supposedly temporarily suspended during COVID? I guess few people would disagree with that. And is Jason Moorhouse right that further delays to the Cairvy wind farm at Airy Stain mean that the MUA is bouncing the next government into supporting the development? Or do you think we need to crack on as it's taken so long already to get any progress? Let me know your thoughts on the programme by contacting Phil Gorn at manxradio.com and get in touch if you have any ideas for future shows. Don't forget, this programme is available as a podcast on Manx Radio's website. For now, I'm Phil Gorn. Goramayo. Thanks for listening.